satisfied. Sweetness at the mercy seat, now I've tasted, it's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock. 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 Freedom, where the spirit is, found it in the wilderness. You will always satisfy. Never fails, will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Never fails, will not fail. can't stand against. And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. And yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Yes, I will.
Well, good morning. Welcome home. My name is Jason Sheeler. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor at Hope in the Beach Church. We're delighted you're here with us today. As we gather here, we're just reminded this is a no judgment zone. It's okay if you're not okay. It's okay to just sit and take it in. It's okay to stand and raise your hands. It's not okay to kick sand on your friends. That's all. That's where our lines are, okay? But our heart is just that, man, that you just be here and let God open your heart to him. He has a word for you. He has brought you here. He has a word for you, whether it's in the music or just in the quietness of his incredible creation. He reveals to us his attributes or in the preaching that he really wants to speak into your life. And so I encourage you to anticipate an encounter with him today because he wants to encounter you. And we really believe that God has brought you here and you're a gift. So in your worship folder, there's a connection card. It looks something like this. If you could be so kind to fill out the front, we'd love to be able to recognize your presence with us. We truly believe you are a gift from him, and we want to honor that gift. If you're joining us online, we'd love to hear you. Hit it on the chat. Of course, if you're watching through our Hope on the Beach page and on the hopeonthebeach.com, you can watch directly there. You can just let us know. We'd love to just connect with everyone and be glad to recognize you with us and be available for what your needs are, whether it's prayer or a walk with you, whatever it is that we can do to connect you with Jesus. We're in a series of Mark, and we've just been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we're hitting chapter 12. We're going to come against an interesting story today in chapter 12, a short little story that might surprise you, and I pray that really does awaken your hearts. But as we kind of get into this, this is the thought that hit me today as I was praying, preparing for this. Yesterday, I did a wedding. And I've been walking with this couple. And, you know, there's something special with walking with newlyweds. Maybe you remember that moment, that time, that season. I mean, the love is just so on the surface. It's so overflowing, over the top. And it's like, whatever we got to do, whatever it is, I want to do it. You're the one. And it just hit me that when the Bible talks about having a first love for Jesus, like, God, where is our love today for you? Are we like in that newlywed stage, just whatever, so grateful, so thankful that you're in our lives, you're a great gift? Or are we kind of like, yeah, you've been around for a while. We just do our thing. We're just maybe even coexisting. Well, my prayer today is that, man, God would just refresh us to have that first love for him. I invite you to rise. Let us pray as we join together in worship. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, God, for your incredible love and grace that you are here in this place with us, and your love is all over us. God, give us ears, give us eyes, give us hands to see it, to feel it. Open our hearts to your incredible love and spirit, that we may have this joy-filled love, this first love response, God, of just gratitude for you being part of our lives. That we don't want to be anywhere else but with you, God. May it be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
So the lyrics are on that first page, inside first page of your bulletin. Come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive, break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awaken the light. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You've been faithful forevermore. You have done great things.
Hallelujah.
And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive. Break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things, have done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive, break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things.
So I want to take a moment. Let it remind you that you're here, right here in your journey, because someone had a dream. Maybe you had a dream, but if we look back as believers, we can see how God has worked in our life and all the good that He's done to get us right here, right now, today. I want you to take a moment to reflect on that, in that time period where you had nothing and God provided. And I'll share my story. When I was just a tot, maybe about 3 years old, I had an accident. I fell off a bunk bed right onto a granite floor. And that injury was severe enough. The doctor said if that crack in my skull would have gone a hairline further up, I'd be deaf all my life. And here I am. He knew my purpose. He knows your purpose. And He works all things out for good. And we follow Him. And we love Him because He is that faithful that He'll get us right where we need to be, no matter what that journey looks like. So take a moment and reflect on that moment in your life. Make sure you give thanks to God Almighty for getting you through. You know, in Matthew,
It speaks about the lilies. Jesus speaks about the birds. He lets us know that he takes care of the birds, the flowers, everything else. How much more will he take care of you, that he loves you? And today that's the question. Do you believe in that love that he has for you? Do you understand it? So we're so grateful, Heavenly Father, for that love and your provision throughout all our lives. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for protecting us and getting us right here, right now. Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder. You know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply. Let's sing that again. Come on. Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder. You know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need. Everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear for tomorrow and what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough. 'Cause your love will satisfy everything I need. Everything I need. Everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has. Do you believe that? Come on. Everything I need. Everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need. Everything I need. Everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Oh, seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, oh, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. Oh, I know the Lord will.
to give some God some praise because He provides. Amen. I just got news. We had a lady that was in the hospital, and the doctor said, "Dad, just take her off. Just give her morphine. She's going to die." Her oxygen was at zero. Pastor Ray shared, and Pastor Ray was with her the whole time. And he said, "No, God's still here. I'm not done." And now she's feeding herself. She's up. She's in a rehab home. And the doctors and nurses are all like profound that she came back really from the dead. That's a Lazarus moment, man. We praise God for He does provide. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. It was a good word. It's kind of funny today. This little question keeps coming up over and over in life. When we had kids that were in the home, there was always, every day, it seemed like they had an idea, they wanted something. And my response was, "How much? How much is it?" And they knew that was coming, so they were always prepared. But, I mean, you're going to the stores. This is a question we ask all the time, and we hear it all the time. You're planning your vacation. Well, how much? Planning a purchase, how much? Or you want to go buy something, how much? You're looking at your future for retirement, how much? And there's always this question, just how much, how much? But today, Jesus asks it in a surprising different context. In the context, He asks, how much do we give? Not how much is your bank account, how much you make, not how much you like to give, but how much do you trust God enough to give it away? In Mark 12, Jesus takes His disciples to the temple. And as He sits down at the temple, He positions Himself in a way that He can watch the offering. Yes, Jesus is intensely watching the offering and seeing how much people give. And this ought to sound a little weird to us, because in our culture today, we don't want anybody watching our giving. Somehow in the church world, we have said offerings are off limits, they're sacred, they should not be seen, not should be revealed, nobody should know. And we kind of maybe use the text, "Well, your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing, you should just do it." And while there's a truth to that text, it's about pride, not building up pride in what you're doing. The reality is, giving is important, and Jesus is watching it because it points to something very significant that we're going to learn about today. And I realize that sometimes, in our human nature, we're influenced by people's giving, as we'll see here. And maybe that's why we want to put it to the side. We don't want to let our flesh get in the way and say, "Oh, they give a lot," and all of a sudden lean into favoritism. Or say they give a little and become judgmental. I get it. But the reality is, Jesus is looking at the giving because giving shows something very significant and important in our lives and our relationship with Him. And it's not to be hidden in the dark, but brought to the light. So what do we see? Number one, Jesus is watching the money roll in. And He sat down opposite the treasury and He watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. So here's the picture. They're at the temple. There are 13 different offering boxes shaped like trumpets. And people would come in these large sums especially, and they would throw their coins into those metal trumpets, and you could hear the amazing clinging sound as the coins fell through the metal trumpets. I kind of say it's the first casino, I think. I don't know, just kidding. Right? And so the rich come in, dress well, and drop heavy sums. They make a lot of noise out of their giving. And what's happening is it's kind of becoming like a show. People are watching, they're seeing people come in, and they're going, "Oh man, this is going to be big. How long? How big is it going to be? Oh, it's going to be loud. How loud is it going to be?" And so it's become a big show, and they're all kind of guessing if people come in or not, how much you're going to give, how big of a show it's going to be. And so you sit there and you go, I think the disciples are sitting there and are impressed by this. And I think the people watching are being very impressed by all this going on. Like, how could they give so much money? That's amazing. They must have great faith. But what do you notice? Jesus is not impressed. He's not impressed by dollar amounts. Because Jesus is not looking at how much money. He's looking is this from the heart or not? He's looking at their heart amounts. So we just live in a world that likes to think that bigger is better. You get a bigger value meal, you upsize it, it must be better. If you have bigger income, you must be better. If you got a bigger square footage house, you must be better. You got a bigger boat, you get bigger fish. You go to a big church, you assume it must be better. If you got a bigger tithe, you must be better. But Jesus doesn't look at size. He looks deeper. He looks to the heart. And while their giving looked impressive on the outside, it wasn't impressive on the inside. And number two, the widow's drop in the bucket. Mark continues on. He says, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. Now, a widow in that culture was a very hard place to be in life. It was very poor because there's no safety nets in the culture. There's no life insurance policies. There's no steady income. There's no government programs, no pensions, no food pantries. And yet here she comes. She comes walking up quietly, and I would say overlooked by others because they're like, oh, we know she's not going to give anything. It's not going to be exciting to hear that one hit the offering plate. There's no anticipation for her offering, so she drops these two tiny coins again. In our human standards, a penny worthless. I think, aren't we getting rid of the penny in our world today? And barely makes a sound, a drop in the bucket. And some might even say, why does she even bother? It doesn't really help. It doesn't really make a difference. However, her gift makes a difference with Jesus. Jesus notices her offering. It's in her offering that he breaks his silence. See, while we're all fixed on numbers, heaven's eyes are fixed on faith, not numbers. They look at the heart. And so so as you read God's word, I think we could see over and over, we see that Jesus is never asking us how much. He's never asking, how much do you know? Do you know enough for salvation? He's never asking, how much do you do? He's never asking how much you give, but he is asking how much of your heart. Where is your heart? Is it sold out? Are you trusting me? Are you following me? Are you committed to following me? In fact, that it would reorientate and change your life? I mean, Matthew records, I think, one of these great stories. I think that it is such a paradigm shift that we're still wrestling with it because we love religion, because we like, man, religion has rules. Religion has things that I can do and say I'm good. And we like to proclaim, has some pride in what we do in earning our salvation. And so this young religious leader comes up to Jesus and even kneels at his feet and says, hey, good teacher. There's a problem there. Jesus is more than just a teacher. And the word good was more for God, so it's kind of conflicting. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, even that question is messed up. Inheritance is a gift. That's something you can earn. And she says, like, you know, why you call me good? No one's good but God alone. And he says, you know all the commandments. So he reads through the commandments. Do not murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, defraud, honor your father and mother. He says, oh, teacher, I've kept all those since my youth. And Jesus is looking at him, and he says he looked at him with love. And he loved him. And I think he's sitting there and his heart is broken. His heart is moved because he has been misguided into what it is to be a follower of Jesus. What is to be a child of God? He thinks he has to work at it. He thinks he has to be good. And he's also has his heart convinced that he is so good on his own that he has earned heaven. And he's here kind of pumping his chest to get that affirmation. He wants that affirmation that I have earned it. And Jesus said, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, then you have the treasures in heaven, and come follow me. He was disheartened by the saying. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In verse 23, Jesus says, looked around and said to disciples, how difficult it would be for those who are with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus, did he say this to this guy because he really wanted to sell everything? Did he really want to give everything? Jesus did that because this guy's heart was on things. It was consumed by the things he acquired. Those were really important to him. And so Jesus said, look, I want to get rid of the idols that are misleading you. I want to get rid of the idols that are ruling over you. I want to get rid of the idols that are stealing your salvation and stealing away your relationship. And those idols, and I want you to have treasures, a treasure in heaven that only I can give you. And so what you got to do is you got to surrender those treasures and come follow me. Because those treasures were given to you. Jesus is like, you were given us to be a blessing, to bless others, and you became a hoarder. Your heart is filled with what God has given you to be given for others and to be shared. Yeah, enjoy it, but not to be the worship of your life. And so he's looking to get rid of it and follow me. Give it away so I can give you more. I can give you what you truly want, eternal life. The life abundant that only comes by Jesus. See, somewhere along the lines in our walk, we've kind of already kind of come in this contract with God of how we're going to give and how we're going to live, this kind of arrangement of this that's not based on love. It's kind of based more like, man, I already can give you so much of my heart. And the question we got to ask is, do we love the giver more than we love what the giver's given us? Because the number one sin in America is materialism, consumerism. Our prosperity has led us to put stuff before God, and we rationalize it away to say you just got to have it in the 21st century. And we got to have a certain acquired lifestyle. And if you don't have it, somehow you're missing, and we don't trust God can provide and give us things that we need. If you go in your worship folder, there is a half sheet kind of paper like this in a hard stock. If you go on the back side, let me just show you a little bit. This is our church. This is what's happening in the first months of the year. And I could do this in any year, and the numbers, the diagram would be the same. If you look at the top right corner, what you'll see is that there's over 5,000 people that have worshiped here. And of that 5,000, about 250 have been giving. And there's about 5,500 who have not gave. I think we got a misunderstanding of our worship. Misunderstanding what it is that we honor God and we bless the gospel that's being shared. I mean, it's interesting if you say, oh, well, you know, it's because I'm a tourist. Well, I didn't know that we only gave at our own church. I mean, if a tourist comes down here, this is an interesting statistic. It says that an average tourist that comes here is about $160,000 salary that they come down here, and they're probably going to spend anywhere between $3,000 to $4,500 if they're on a budget. Typical is 5 to 7, and luxury is 8+. So, what does that say our priorities are? If I'm going to spend that much on vacation, yet I can't even do a small gift in worship. If you go to the left side, where you see the colorful little there, that's how many givers in the amounts. And there is, like, you know, out of that 250, there's about 140 some that do less than $50. Then there's another group, less than 100, then less than 500. Then you got 500 to 1,000, then you got 1,000 to 2,000, 2,000 to 5, and then 5,000 plus. First of all, praise God for the generosity of those who helped support the ministry here. But I got to ask, what's this say about our priorities? I mean, if the median income in South Walton's $170,000, the median income from somebody to 24 to 44, that's a household, is $88,000. 45 to 69 is about $115,000. And if you go and you say, well, we have a lot of people from other places, okay, Freeport is half of that. So I'll even take Freeport at $44,000. I'll take the lowest income, $88,000, $44,000. What would happen if 100 people tithed on that and gave $4,000? What would that look like? So if I could take the lowest bar, we're not even reaching a lowest bar. And I know there's this response already that says, oh, tithing, we don't believe in tithing. Right, I know. That's Old Testament. You're right. Jesus fulfilled everything. But you know, when Jesus came, Jesus made things greater. Remember in the Old Testament, he said, do not commit adultery. What does he say in the New Testament? Don't even look. If you even look and lust, you've committed adultery already. See, when Jesus comes, he raises the bar. It's interesting, when Jesus comes, we lower the bar. Jesus comes and says, my grace is greater. My grace has been revealed. My work has been revealed to you. I have died for you. It's been a known fact. It isn't just a promise. It's happened. It's been given to you. That bar goes higher, not lower. How much of me are like this rich young man? Yeah, I'm doing everything, I've earned it. I'm good. Is that what following Jesus looks like? I mean, you can look at the other parts. The blue part shows just the rather inconsistency we go through. And then what are the totals? But people always want to know, what is it like here? Well, there it is. How do you try to plan a ministry like that? But we do. And so the question that we're always asked is what Jesus is asking is, where's your heart? The widow's heart was entrusting with God. Number three, Jesus shares why that drop is more than just a large sum. Why it's more. I mean, in verse 12, chapter 12, 43, he says, and he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they are contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. And what we see, A, is she gave more spiritually. And why did she give more spiritually? Number one, because it was sacrificial versus just out of abundance. The rich gave, but they didn't feel it. It didn't hurt. It wasn't a sacrifice. It was out of abundance. It's like leftovers. I got plenty. I can throw this aside and not miss anything. The widow gave, and her giving came at a cost. See, when the rich give, it doesn't change their life. It doesn't affect their priorities. It doesn't really touch the heart. It wasn't even out of obligation to feel like, I got to do this, and then like feeling that. It was just, oh, I can. And for them, it was the drop in the bucket. God doesn't measure the size of gift. He's measuring the size of sacrifice. It's about proportion of giving, meaning that we share in the sacrifice in different amounts. I mean, what's interesting, God gave his one and only son. God gave, he sacrificed. He who had everything gave the very most, the very best. And in that was a sacrifice that was painful to give his son. It was painful for his son to come here and take on his sin. He had no sin. To take on our punishment, to suffer for that, and to be sacrificed and killed and receive the punishment of hell and God's wrath on him. And he didn't deserve it. And God, who has abundance, gave abundantly too in his son, and it hurt. But he did it for you and I. That we could have life with him. That we could be forgiven from our state of sin and be in a relationship and fellowship with the holy God. And have the incredible gift of eternal life. God gave with his whole heart for us. And I know I've heard, well, you know, that we're just in such hard times. I mean, there's been COVID, there's been inflation, uncertainty, and we have this fear and doubt. And whenever there's this uncertainty, insecurity, what we tend to hold on to things. And hold on to money as our security. And we just got to realize there will always be uncertainty in this world. There will always be. And that's why it requires faith. Because faith says, in the uncertainty, I know the certainty of God. In the uncertain world, I have put my trust. I have put my hope. I have put my care. I have put my life in the hands of God who has given me life, who has redeemed my life, who has saved me from my death and termination. And I choose to trust him. And what Jesus is saying, man, if your heart is there, then your actions should follow. If this is where your heart is, this is where you truly trust, then your actions should follow with it. See, she gave more spiritually. Number two, she requires faith, which is risk versus security. Again, giving out of abundance really doesn't cost nothing. Giving out of poverty requires trust because it costs everything. Do we arrest everything? And in that risk, she declared her faith that God is her provider. We planted a church in Michigan, and we stepped out of that church in Michigan because we felt God said, hey, I want you to plant a different church. I mean, we're raising three kids. I was on a church planting salary. I was paying for my tuition at seminary, which is like over 60 grand. And when we stepped out, we were blessed that we had a financial planner said, just put some emergency money away into some CDs. And we had like six or eight CDs. And then we started drawing those, and we were able to get some, God provided different jobs. They weren't the same amount of money, but we got jobs. And he cared for us. And we did that for like a year. Then God called us here. And this was in 2009 when the housing crisis was. And so that money that we built up and all the equity in our home was gone. We actually had a short sale at it. And I'm like, I don't have any money. I don't know how we're going to get a house down here. But then God provided this foreclosure and provided funding for it. And we were able to get this foreclosure. And I was just worried about getting a house. I was so stressed out. I had a guy in Michigan, my friend, who said, look, God didn't send you there to be homeless. You need to trust him. You need to calm down. And I said, I'm thinking, I got three kids. I got colleges. We got nothing. I'm just worried about a house right now. And God provided. And he provided the house. And he provided for their college. He provided. He provided for their weddings. He provides. See, the takeaway I want to give you, the four takeaways. A, giving goes hand in hand with trust. Really, giving, how much you give reveals how much you trust God to take care of you. Giving is a revealing of the heart. That's why it shouldn't stay in the dark. It just says, where's your heart at? Because when our heart gets cold with God, the first thing that goes is our giving. Second thing, probably worship tenets, they probably go together. B, it's measured by sacrifice. Heaven is not impressed with big checks. It's impressed by surrendered hearts. Jesus is not a tip that you add on after the bill is paid. And if you got something left over and you feel like you want to be generous because he's been good to you. Or you say, oh, there's not anything left over. I can't do anything this time. Jesus says, seek the kingdom first and his righteousness. And what is his righteousness? His righteousness is that your whole heart is following him. That your whole heart is sold out to him. Seek him first. God has given us first fruits. God, give our first fruits to you. And we do that in righteousness. And then what do? And we trust that he will give you those things. And all those things, they will be added unto you. See, challenge our self-reliance. Challenging our self-reliance. I hear many people, I go, I want to be closer to God. I just want to get closer to God. And I like to have more of him in my life. And I like to experience him more. And so what do? We got a lot of people say, I want to remember my baptism so I can feel closer to God. I maybe want to come to worship. I might want to do a Bible study. I possibly might even want to serve. But if you really want to get closer to God, It's in sacrifice. It's in the giving up that brings you closer. It's in putting yourself in a position where, man, you are reliant upon Him. If you want to be closer to God, increase your giving. Because where your money goes, where your heart's going to go. And if you start pouring into it, you're going to care about it more. I mean, it's the same difference. I said this a lot of times. How many have ever rented a car? How many have ever hit a curb with a rental car? How many cared about hitting a curb with a rental car? No one. It's a rental car. But if it was your car, what would you like? Oh, we got to get out and look at that tire. Is it okay? That's because it's your money's there. If it's not your money, you don't care. Because money leads our heart. You put your money where your heart is. And so in our giving, it makes us more and more aware of God in our life, more and more aware of His provisions, more and more aware of how His hand is operating and providing things in our lives. D, it puts hope in action. The widow believed that even as she gave her last penny, God still held her future. Do we give like that? She gave not with fear, but with hope that God, who has been faithful, remained faithful and for care for her. I mean, I'm not against planning for retirement. We should plan. That's a good thing. But the Bible also talks about storing up stacks of cash and sitting back and being lazy. And woe to you. Do you not know that your day is coming? See, Jesus doesn't ask, how much do you give? He asks, how much did it cost you? How much do you trust me? The widow's two coins still echo through history because they were two coins of faith. So in your worship folder, in that little half sheet of paper, you go to the other side, it's all green. There's a giving pathway. And the giving pathway is just for you to say, do some reflection, say, where am I? Where am I on this pathway of giving that God's grace has worked in my life and in our hearts and has been transforming into the likeness of Christ that empowers me not to be a slave to the things of this world, but be a steward of what God has blessed me with in order to advance His kingdom and honor Him, that He grows and I grow in my faith and my life of generosity, just like God is generous with His grace. And so on the left side is the different steps of the giving pathway. And maybe you're an emerging giver. I mean, you have not given. You're not started. You never gave before. What I encourage you today is just to start. To start. Pick a place and start. In response to what God has done for you, I'm going to start giving to my church. And do I trust that God will be my provider? Do I trust in where the church is going, that He died for me? And so you make a start. Engage giver. Maybe you're somebody who just kind of, well, if it's there, it's there or not. But maybe the next step in that pathway is consistency. It's making a commitment and keeping it consistent and seeing God work in that consistency. And how He provides and how things go last longer than they did before. Or things all suddenly, I have money in my budget, I didn't understand how it came from. And then the other one's a trusted giver. That's tithing. God's entrusted you at a higher level, and you're being entrusted in your tithing, and you're doing you're giving 10% to Him, and your stewardship reflects your faith and your priorities in your life. And then the challenge is to go to expanding giver. I mean, understand, it's all God's anyway. That He gave it to you, not for you, just for you, but for you to be a blessing to others in His kingdom. And that you want to honor with all your heart, mind, and soul. And so it's going beyond the tithe into a life of generosity. And then the last step of the path, extravagant giver. In view of eternity, the short time on earth, I can give out of my earthly days, ensure God's kingdom through eternity, through legacy gifts, in our wills, insurances, endowments, and things. So the question is, where are you on your path? What is God calling you to do? And my challenge for you today is to take that step. And that you would put your faith in action, that you would trust in Him. And you say, God, I really want you to be the king of my heart. I don't want to be my heart be swinging around and be insecure and anxious because of money. I want to be secure in you. So let's pray. God, you are a God of abundance. I mean, even King Solomon, when he was asked what he wanted, if he wanted money or wisdom or what he wanted in all the world, he said wisdom. And you blessed him with more riches than ever. Because his heart was leaning into you and wanting to be wise. Oh Lord, we want to be wise stewards of the blessings you give. We never want to become bending the knee down to the gifts you give and not to you. Because you are Yahweh, you are God Almighty, you are our Savior, and you are good. And as Matthew says in Matthew 7, you are a good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. I mean, it's not that you won't want us to enjoy this goodness. I mean, you created whales and dolphins. Why? I mean, really, why? But yet for pleasure that we could enjoy in your creation and watch them play, because you're a playful God and you want us to enjoy. You want us to recreate, and in recreation we recreate in your creation, in your presence, in your mighty hand has designed all these things for us to enjoy. And yet there's greater joy in you, and there's a greater joy awaiting us in heaven. And so don't let us get caught up in this world, but let us fix our heart on the things that are eternal, on treasures that last, and fix it on you, that we could just be an open hand for you, that where you're leading us to pour in, we pour in, and so that your kingdom, your will be done, Lord, we pray. And so as your children, we pray that prayer together that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So in our worship folder today, you have that offering envelope. You have that opportunity to respond today. And maybe it's today that you make a start. Maybe today is you make a change. Maybe today you're going to pray about it a little bit longer. And that's okay. Because what God longs for us, as Paul writes in Corinthians, that we pray and we set it aside. And we want to be cheerful, joyful givers. Where's that cheerful, joyful sweet spot for you? So I encourage you to seek him and let him share it to you, what he puts on your heart. Also in your worship folder is that connection card. If you could turn to the back side this time. You know, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, never done that, man, we'd love to pray with you. Because the Bible talks about for those who believe in him, they are saved. But he says those who believe are baptized. So if you're a believer, you've never been baptized, come talk to us. We would love to bless you with that incredible gift and security and the gift of the Holy Spirit that he gives in grace and baptism. Also, I encourage you to plan to connect. We have membership classes, and our membership class is a time of introduction into, we are a Luther Missouri Synod church, traditional biblical church, and we introduce you to that history and to the core of our faith. And that's part of joining the membership. And then also, men's breakfast is coming up on Saturday, and our youth on Wednesday. And then another couple weeks, we have, 2 weeks, next week. No, 2 weeks. We have the beach breakfast here. And man, it has been awesome. And if you like to help serve, because there's been an incredible turnout, and everybody keeps increasing their recipes, but there's more and more people coming. So it'd be great if you like to help out, serve a dish. That would be great. We love you could participate in that. So we're going to continue. Oh, I forgot that. Also in your worship folder, last thing, is that life groups are starting in a couple weeks here. I'm really excited. We're going to go through the patriarch's family and faith in Genesis. We're going to walk through parts of Genesis for 12 weeks. Our children's ministry is going to do the lessons also. We're going to have children's messages. So it's going to be a whole integrated family time. Children's ministry is doing something incredibly special that they put together. And man, I can't wait for you guys to hear about that. I'll let them share. But our life groups are starting up. And so here's the list if we encourage you to sign up, get in a group, get around, be encouraged, be spurred on, be cared for, be loved on. This is a place of great belonging and great growth. There's one that missed the card for some reason, but on Friday at 5 p.m., Melanie has one in Freeport for women. Friday, 5 p.m., Melanie Sellers in Freeport. And if you just remember Women Freeport, we will help you with that and get you signed up and get you connected with a group. We encourage you to make that step. It's so important. It's a great place to be loved and learn to love together. So with that, we're going to continue our worship. And you can rise as we continue our worship, and the elders will come around and collect your offering and those connection cards.
The lyrics are on the back page, inside back page. Blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. A perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps, yeah. So this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. He will never fail. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. No, He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Heavenly Father, thank You for blessing us Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for providing. We are so grateful that you hear our prayers and that you answer. So we pray that we seek you further this week, because you're right here with us, right now, moving. We worship you, Holy Father. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. See you guys next week. Have a great day. We also need some help breaking down. If you want to help us out, that would be great. God bless.